Peyton is elected, but not only has he lost his mojo, people want him dead for some reason. Remember, the rats actually don't work there because it's a politician after show on AfterBuzz TV. Let's go.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, AfterBuzz.
How is everyone doing out there on the internet land? Of course, this is the Politician After Show, the Netflix original. My name is Flobo Boy. Thank you so much for giving me your life in second screen. We're talking about episode 6, the assassination of Peyton Hobart, part 1. Before we talk about the episode and how awesome it was, let's introduce my co-panelist. This guy here is a hand model from Cleveland and is a lover and writer of political satire. Give it up for Mr. Adam Carr.
What's going on, guys? So excited to be talking about episode 6.
Yeah.
This episode... Lots of layers.
Stretch. 3 more to go.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're on some other shows too. Just walk me through this. Going from episode to episode, your idea of the show, has it changed? Your expectations, have they changed as we get towards the end?
Absolutely. I feel this is as modern and as cutting edge TV, digital streaming, whatever you want to call it, that we can get. Because every time we think we see where the ball's going, we think we know where it's going to end up, it completely changes course and trajectory. This show is evolving. I think the big thing they used to say is that in film, the characters change. In TV, they don't. They stay the same. That was like the old model for 90s sitcoms. You were tuning in week after week. But what's cool about this show especially, people are changing. People mature. People, they have mishaps, but their characters are growing.
Right.
And they kind of morphs with the show. This is a very different show already than it was where it began. And I think where it's going is going to be much different. Season 2 is going to be way different than season 1. It's a very cool show.
I have to agree with you, absolutely. But the episode today is the assassination of Peyton Hobart.
Yes, it
part
is.
One. Seeing that title, I assume that you thought the worst, right? That he's actually going to die, or he's kind of just to get me to click.
Well, I assume here's the thing. I love the trailer for The Politician. I thought the trailer was absolutely wonderful. And in the trailer, there's a quick clip of Peyton dressed in white, surrounded by clouds. So I have thought, at some point, he's either going to die or it looks like he's going to die. He's going to need to have this, quote-unquote, come-to-Jesus moment. Why do I really want to do this?
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be as interesting if he just keeps winning or if he just gets everything that he wants. We have to see him also lose everything, and a huge part of that would also be dying.
I guess. You can't really win if you're dead. Yeah that's
exactly. Right. What about you?
This show is definitely a living, breathing thing. I thought it would be a lot more linear, and there's a lot more twists and turns, and the motivations are so just one step beyond absurd. They obviously are plausible, and it's a weird, circle thing. It's I believe it. There's no way. It's so out there, I can see someone doing that. And I think that's, the tone it hits is pretty awesome. But let's talk about the election itself. I mean, Peyton is seen, ready to do his victory speech. Asher comes and says, I'm out.
Right.
What's up with that?
At first, I was like, well, great. She's out. He wins. But then I was like, oh, no. If she's out, he doesn't get to beat her. He just gets to it's like a lame duck presidency. He won, but you won by default.
What's wrong with my default? Default wins.
The problem with the winning by default is that it's nothing, there's nothing inspirational about it. There's nothing that makes people go, you're the person that I believe in. And he knows that.
What?
This is a huge argument I had with my girlfriend when we were watching the show. Because she was like, what's the big deal? He just won. I'm like, but he didn't win the way he wanted to win.
Yeah.
He wanted to crush his opponent. He wanted to show that no matter what, all the people would come out in droves for him. You have to prove that with, voting statistics, everything that happens. Now they're just dumping all the votes. So if it didn't matter, it basically just meant as long as you were sitting there on the other side, you won.
Isn't the lesson there showing up? Huh? Just showing up, bro. Who needs a platform? Just show up.
This isn't T-ball. Everybody doesn't get a trophy. And we need to stop this mentality.
Fair. But Peyton is now the president of school. And it just seems that the way he won kind of put him off kilter a bit. His first swearing in.
It did, because it throws off, like you said, it throws off his mojo. Yeah. He can't get anything passed.
What's up with that?
He's bringing everything. He's going, I don't get it.
Yeah.
The first thing he brings up is the no more plastic straws, right?
Okay, stop with that. Okay.
Plastic straws.
Why are we talking about plastic straws?
About plastic straws because it's a very simple, corrected thing that we can do. Everybody can switch to, you can switch to paper.
Yes.
You can switch to steel straws and wash them, but
right.
We don't need that much excess plastic. It's a very easy win.
I understand that, but if you're president of a high school, that is your first topic?
Plastic straws? Maybe. Because again, you want an easy win. You don't want to go for a grand slam right out the gate. You're going to go for something so big, you're going to chew off more than you can possibly chew. It doesn't matter. You just want to win.
Right.
Right off the gate.
But I figure that since you had a character or a constituent and say, I literally want different options in my vending machines to do something else was kind of weird, I thought.
I think, well, again, he was thrown off because of Astrid. Astrid threw him off by just throwing on the towel and saying, you win, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because then that ghost will haunt you. You're going, did I really win? And of course, as we find out later in the episode, we know what the actual results were.
Yeah, we did.
Sorry, and we're jumping out a little bit. Didn't mean to do that.
That's a teaser. We love teasers.
That's a teaser. That's coming up.
I think a moment of pause here was you have no agenda. You're not Obama. You're Gerald Ford, which is a little later on. But I thought it was pretty like, damn, Gerald Ford gets shade. He's not even,
I know.
No one talked about it.
He's falling downstairs and he's still getting made fun of.
I will say this. I didn't quite get the anger at first. But that sit down that Peyton had saying like, look, man, the voters rejected my message. That must be a lot for the psyche. You know, we talked about this on the last episode of I had a great platform when I ran for office, and my constituents didn't care. They wanted something a lot more granular than what I was offering, and that can be a little bit to take in and stride and be like, well, man, I have this idea, but no one cares.
I think what's great about this show is that it's touching upon things. We get into this a little bit in later episodes, but this show is very much hitting, I think, the nerve of where politics are now, because this is something that Obama talked about leaving office. Like, was I wrong? Were we wrong with the trajectory where we wanted the country to go?
Yeah.
So this idea that you're running on something, it's what you believe in, it's what you get everybody else to believe in, but is it wrong? Was it the right thing to do?
Right.
Did people believe in it enough? Like certain things like that, I think that can definitely mess with your head because it's called the politician. It's not called, you know, the well-rounded high school student.
The participation.
So if he doesn't have this, we don't have a show.
We don't have a show. And one of the things I thought was pretty cool or interesting, I won't say cool because it was kind of odd to see, is that even in the fallout of him winning the election, everything's coming down around Peyton. He's not getting things done, not getting things passed, realizes his constituents aren't a thing.
Yeah.
He actually asked McAfee and James to double down their loyalty by filling out non-disclosure agreements.
NDAs.
Have you ever given a friend an NDA for any reason?
No. I mean, I would assume it would have the same romantic notions of asking someone to sign a prenup.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's basically, it's really romantic, really seals the deal. I mean, it's basically saying, you believe me, cool, now prove it. I mean, of course, it's the old Ronald Reagan, I trust you, Mr. Gorbachev, I'd just like to verify it. Mm-hmm. But,
political reference, I love that.
Thank you. political reference for a politically minded show.
Yeah.
I would think, though, in the world of politics, everything he's doing, I mean, they're, you know, yeah, you probably do want NDAs at the end of the day.
Yeah.
This isn't the best friends club. It's, you know.
If you were James, would you sign? If you were McAfee, would you sign?
Sure.
Really?
Yep. I have no, there's nothing.
$5 million penalty. You're like, sure.
If I'm already working for someone and I say I believe in you and I say this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
They would be just like, I would sign the prenup. I don't care. But I'm like, if that's what matters to you at the end of the day, if you need to see this checked off in order for us to move forward on a train that is already moving forward that we both agreed to from the beginning, who cares?
Let's put a bow on this. Taking a step back of all that's Peyton done through this campaign election.
Mm-hmm.
If you were just, you know, young little Adam going to his high school,
yeah.
Is that somebody you want representing you at your school? Or there's no other better option?
I would say, let's see. Originally, that's good. I'm thinking a lot right now.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going back and forth.
That's fine.
Because I was like, River was my favorite one. Obviously, I think like River would have won if he had actually run.
He's a dreamboat. He doesn't count.
He's a dreamboat. He's done. Astrid, then I would have gone, what's Astrid's platform? She seems to have none. Peyton, yeah. I would have probably voted for Peyton.
Wow.
Well, he's talking. He's taking the time to do it.
Yeah. I like, just feel like there's like he's a good person and he has moments of that light, but it just seems awfully cynical. Seems almost like, you know, Machiavellian. Like, I'm here for you, but
everybody's out for something for themselves. The way I look at it is like, if you want to get up and if you want to take the time and the effort and the energy to help do things around here, and yeah, it's going to go on your resume. That's why you want to go to college. You want to do something better. We all want to like keep taking the next step.
Right.
But if he's going to take the time to do it, what do I care?
It's the same sport, but different intent. It's like pro ball and college ball. Like, you can argue that college kids don't get paid. Whether they should is another issue altogether.
Sure.
But there's also that whole thing of school pride and doing things and being legacy. Like, there's no like, man, I really love playing with the Dolphins. I'm going to stick with them. Dolphins pride. I feel like it's a different thing altogether. So you have someone at the high school level.
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be a little bit more of a, you know, nice, even-keeled, charismatic?
Nice, even-keeled?
Sharing, more like River, but in a Peyton-like package of being assertive?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think you could wait around your whole lifetime for a candidate like that.
Fair.
Or just look at someone who's going to get something going and, you know, seems to have everything going for them and seems to mean what they say. I'd say that's the best we can hope for right now.
That's the best we can hope for.
I agree with what you're saying, but at the same time, I also think that things need to get done, and we still need to move forward.
I'm just speculating here, but before we move on, can you tell the world how they can listen to this AfterBuzz show and other AfterBuzz shows?
Of course, guys. Well, we don't want to move on too far from this topic here. We just want to say thank you so much for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. But of course, we want to continue to grow, and we need your help here. So be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, like, comment, talk to us, please. Give us a rating on iTunes. If you really love us, give us 5 stars, please. As always, please leave us a comment. We'd love to continue to talk to you, interact with the fans. That's really why we do this.
Yeah.
We absolutely love AfterBuzz TV. For me, coming here on Mondays, talking about the shows, hanging out with you guys.
Hey.
It is absolutely so much fun, and we love to do it. So thank you all so much for your support, and please remember, we're only here because of you.
Yeah, and you guys can watch along on YouTube in our live chat. Make sure if you have any questions, write it down or support the show with the super chat function. That's the little S in the box. We'll read your comments on air. So moving on, let's talk about the assassination attempts, because there were not just one. There was two in the same episode. Explain this to me.
Two in the same episode.
Let's talk about the evil cupcake of doom, right?
Evil cupcake of doom.
So McAfee was kind of on edge. We didn't know what the relationship was as far as her loyalty was. She was a little myth about signing that non-disclosure agreement.
Right.
But then she appears with a cupcake.
And she appears with a cupcake.
Would you eat it, though? Knowing full well the thing you had with her that day.
For half a second, I remember I was watching this and I was thinking, there's something up with that cupcake. There's something weird.
Yeah.
But then I thought, McAfee, at the end of the day, I could see maybe, it's really weird. I was like, I could see James doing something, maybe a little bit, because of the whole Alice thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe because of Infinity. But McAfee, I'm not sure. And then, of course, having fully well said that, I acknowledge that James and McAfee, I believe, always have his back.
I hate the fact that TV shows and movies are going to give me a complex every time someone offers me food.
And it's cupcakes.
Yeah, and who doesn't want cupcakes? And it says Prez. He's a Prez. Eat it, you know?
He's the Prez, yeah. You can't be seen as a president not eating a cupcake. You can't be seen as a president not eating a cupcake.
Absolutely.
That's not American. You can't say,
I love fried dough and pastries.
Yeah, you can't.
Donuts or cupcakes.
Gluten, no.
Well, gluten-free cupcakes are a different thing altogether.
Our president has to. Yeah, you're right.
So I thought it was kind of funny that Peyton was able to deduce what had happened.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly, which I'm glad it saved us as the audience being like, can't you tell it's McAfee?
Right.
But it was that double turn of McAfee going, oh, I think I did, but by accident?
McAfee's like, wait.
Yeah.
I was with Sky, and then she goes and talks to Sky. Sky says, whoa, like, you would actually think I would do that?
Yeah.
Sky gives this whole speech
where
we sit down and we really don't know what to believe. And Sky's like, I didn't do it. And McAfee's like, well, I made the cupcake batter, but you did the frosting. And then you had this special frosting that you wouldn't let me touch and that you put on specifically for Peyton.
Yeah.
So obviously that's the only variable.
True.
And then we get this whole, you know, oh my gosh, you don't trust me. I can't believe this. You know what? Screw you. I don't want to be with you. I'm like, oh, I guess she didn't do it.
Yeah. But kind of moot, before you go on, kind of moot, would you ship them?
Would I ship them?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, do you think that Sky and McAfee are a good couple on screen? Good chemistry?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so too, man. That scene making the cupcakes, I was like, oh, that's so cute. That's pretty dope. But you're right. So imagine this. Imagine someone comes to you and say, hey, man, did you make poison cupcakes? You're like, no, I didn't. How dare you say it?
Right.
I would take it at face value and go, okay, it must be crazy.
Maybe I take it at face value, yeah.
Wow, man.
Even though it's the lowest common denominator, it had to be her.
Right.
That was the only change.
Absolutely.
And then she goes home.
Turns out that it's rat poison.
Do you want to say this? Yeah.
No, it was rat poison.
Rat poison. Cuts up the rat poison. Chops it up. Puts it in the garbage can at different places. I'm going, holy crap. This person's a sociopath.
Right.
They just lied.
Yeah.
They just straight up looked at the person that they love. Right? This is the mark of... This is Ted Bundy. And they go, I didn't do it. How could you say that? No. And then they're doing it.
Which seems to become a trend in this show at all.
We have a lot of people poisoning people in this show.
What is up with that?
We have a lot of people saying, I love you. As they hand them, it's like the scene from The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Now eat the soup. I'm going to watch you get worse.
I don't want the soup.
You get better afterwards.
So before we even get into the second assassination to ever pay, let's take a sit back here, right?
Yeah.
Poor Ricardo. Or do I say poor Ricardo? He's definitely a complex character.
This guy's great.
And Dusty, right? Dusty is everyone's favorite grandma. Jessica Lange, shout out.
Jessica Lange. I got to tell you, Jessica Lange might be my favorite part of this whole show. Serious right
so
now.
So you said this off air. No, producer, we have a debate here. You just can't automatically just say, anoint someone.
And that's where we end.
Good on, everybody. No, okay, what about Dusty's character is the best one?
She's absolutely amazing. If any other actress did this, it would be in danger of going over the top. But mm-hmm. she completely sells it. And it's also, it's a throwback to me. It's Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk showing us AHS Season 2, Asylum, which was, to me, probably her best performance. That's just when you saw this powerhouse.
Yeah.
And she has so many moments. We've seen her go crazy in the hospital. We've seen her go crazy at the dinner table scene. We've seen her, she just, and as more things start to come out with Infinity and her mom, which we see more in episode 7, obviously, we're not getting ahead of ourselves, but she's absolutely brilliant. So yeah. There's something, I just, every time she comes on screen, I go, okay, we're going to watch something great here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So as great as she is, yes. She wants to kill Peyton.
Yes. Well, like, so many people do. As Gwyneth Paltrow says, he's a very polarizing figure.
That's his mama. You believe that? If your mom was kind of like, well, you know, I gave birth to him.
I would think most presidents' moms would say that about their kids. He's very polarizing.
That's definitely true. Approval ratings in the house. So walk me through the actual plan. The original plan and what actually happened were two different things, right?
Yes. So I'm trying to think. The original plan was she just said, I want you to shoot him and kill him.
Right.
And just get it done.
Right.
So she was just trusting Ricardo at face value. Have you met this kid?
He is having complex.
I wouldn't trust him to run a water faucet, much less kill someone.
Or work the arcade store. We saw that.
So, or work at arcades where he shouts at kids
right.
with a mop.
Right.
Yeah, so he says, no, cool, I'm going to do it. And then he shoots Peyton with a BB gun.
Yes.
Two pellets.
Yeah.
Right in the, like, kidney area.
Right.
And then we think...
The butt.
So I first, too, when I saw that gun, I was like, oh, that's a real gun. He's going to shoot Peyton in the head during... Because they're doing their show, Assassins, Sondheim.
Are you a fan?
Brilliant show. Big fan.
Okay.
Big fan.
And I can tell you lit up a bit. You're like, oh, man, Assassin's my Sondheim. You're like, this is my jam.
I'm a hand model from Cleveland, Flip. Of course, I grew up doing musical theater.
I didn't know was that kid. Rolled through Cleveland.
Let me paint a picture for you. When I played baseball growing up, my dad said, you know there's musical theater. And I was like, oh, got it. Thank you.
Those are the minds playing that sport.
So let me enlighten you. So I thought that he was going to use the musical and the gun as a prop to shoot Peyton in the head. I thought it was going to be a real gun. So then when he does that, and it's like a joke, and Peyton's telling him, and then he shoots him, I'm like, oh, that's it? And then he tells Nana, of course, Dusty.
Yeah?
No, I did it. Like, I shot her.
And then he's
dead. And she's like, no. And then he explains his grand plan. Would you like to go into this?
So this is the question I have for you, Adam.
Yes.
We knew what Ricardo was about. But here is somebody that used his anger for Infinity to audition for a play that they're both were in to say, I want to hold this rifle behind stage at all times to shoot Peyton in the buttocks with a guts-infused bullet. Though he has sepsis. Is Ricardo the smartest guy that we don't give him credit for? Is he a genius?
He's up there. I wouldn't say genius.
Genius.
I would say the thing he has going for him is that everybody thinks he's so dumb that when he does have these pockets of genius, we're all pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it was. Because I think you put this guy anywhere, you're going to pretty much know 9 times out of 10 what you're going to get with him. But
absolutely.
The sepsis bullets? Pretty brilliant.
What a way to go out.
I mean, if that's the way you go out. Because again, like you said, unless you know what you're looking for, Peyton's just going to die. Peyton's in the hospital, right? This is getting towards the end of the episode. He's getting sick. He's got a fever. He's sick again. They're like, he's sick again. He's poisoned again. We don't know. We haven't said poisoning yet.
Right.
Someone else said, he might have said poisoned. But we don't know necessarily what's going to happen or how bad. And this is when I thought, honestly, I'm like, oh, he's going to die.
This scene was so pleasantly melodramatic. It was like the whole, mama, this is the end. I love you so much because I know we have to jump around to make this make sense, but Brigitte comes back. With the proposition of like, look, you know, you got to leave, come with me,
yeah.
Forget your deal.
Life's too short.
And now you have Georgina watching her sick son or, you know, trying to recover what was going on. And that debate of what's happy for me, staying behind, what do I do? It would have been perfect if Peyton were to pass away there. I felt like if it happened there, it'd be a different show altogether. I'm glad it didn't.
Then we follow Georgina and Brigitte.
Yeah.
And they take a Thelma and Louise
road
trip.
Sorry, Keaton. Yeah.
You know?
But I just the idea of having everyone everyone having their own motives of this scene, of if Peyton being sick or if he dies, or Ricardo, did I kill him or not? And Dusty being like, am I Grandmaster Plan? I'm not. That, right. To me, makes the show so juicy and so layered.
It is pretty amazing. I will say, too, there was a moment that harkened back to Glee, which happened a little bit before this, before he gets shot. Peyton sings, I forget what the song is, but he sings it with Infinity.
Yeah.
And Infinity definitely has this little bit of Gypsy Rose from Who Is the Act mixed with Mandy Moore, Walk to Remember.
Wow.
That's what I want to call the hybrid.
All right.
So she kind of, you know, like the sick, pale girl thing, but then she has this beautiful voice.
I'm either more surprised that you made that reference or understood that reference.
Like, it's like a little bit of both?
Yeah, like, wait, I know this. Dope.
So tonight, go and watch Walk to Remember, Mandy Moore.
Mandy Moore.
You will, it's a revelation.
Yeah, it is.
But it definitely felt a little bit like that. I'm like, oh, someone's going to die.
Yeah.
Like, it had that feeling.
Right.
Where, like, they're having this beautiful song. Again, you're seeing Peyton's incredible voice. Like, it's so cool because, too, I think Georgina tells him at some point, I wrote this down, she says, find some way to bring music into your life. She tells him, because she says, you're not fulfilled.
Yeah.
And I think then the more when he finds out he didn't actually win the election, he lost by 2 votes, all these important moments in his life that he thought mattered or that he thought were there, they're gone.
Right.
And so I think then, too, Georgina is seeing this, and she's starting to think about her own mortality, her own love, her own, am I getting everything that I want? And they have something that I'll talk about in a little bit. It is a sweet moment, but there's something with them a little later. But yeah, that whole singing, and then Ricardo, the genius.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the thing. Once you give Ricardo credit, he finds a way to snatch it out. So he tells Infinity everything. Like,
yeah. Then he tells her everything.
He's like, I did it for you, bro. Or I love you.
Yeah. Gives her everything, and then Infinity. Infinity goes out. We don't know what she's gonna do.
Yeah.
Is she gonna say something? Is she gonna go to Nana first? Is she gonna go with Peyton? Because, you know, a couple episodes back, Peyton found out Munchausen by proxy with Infinity here, and he didn't necessarily tell her as fast as he should have.
Right.
And that was something, yeah, that was something that he knew. And this was something, too. I had a little debate with my girlfriend. She was like, well, he told her. I'm like, he didn't tell her as fast, and he didn't also say, I know that she's faking it, she shouldn't be my VP nom.
True.
He dragged his feet on saying everything.
See,
the principal did as well. The principal also knew it was 2 years beforehand. Andrew said that he told her.
In that garbled message?
Yeah, that garbled message. He said, I have receipts, played the phone thing, we can't hear anything because it's in his jeans pocket. So yeah, that was the question. He did a good thing, but he did it too slow.
So this is what, like, real life and drama come together, because I felt like, had this happened in real life, you would say, hey, he did exactly what he needed to do. Cool. But, like, because we attach these values to these characters, we're like, well, you should know as soon as it happened to tell them.
Well, this is what we do, I think, in politics right now. It's not that you found out. It's when did you find out and what did you do about it? And then it starts becoming this... We start doing these micro timelines on everything. So, yeah, it becomes, well, he did the right thing. Did he do it as fast as he should have? Did, in the eyes of the people?
Do you think that is? I just want to, why do you think we are, we're getting on topic here, but why do we think we're drilling into the micro timelines and seeing who's culpable at what point and who isn't?
Because
why is that changing?
I feel like we're starting to expect a lot more from our politicians.
Okay.
And we haven't for a long time.
Yeah.
We kind of just took it for granted. We thought, well, they're in D.C. for a reason. They're supposed to do what they're supposed to do. And I think now, because of social media and because the microscope that we've all fixed onto everything that we're looking at every day, we're constantly expecting more from ourselves, for better or for worse. And then we're also doing that with politicians. Mm-hmm. We're saying, well, when were you voting for gay marriage? It doesn't, like, if you said no to it in the 90s, you know, like Bernie Sanders, one of the few people, like, I don't mean to, sorry,
Brooklyn
get so political
here.
Yeah, Brooklyn. You know, that's one of the few guys who, from decades ago, was arguing for gay marriage. Like, just so little things like that where I feel like they're looking for more because they expect more.
Yeah.
And that's not going to go away.
Speaking of expecting more, those California doctors are the worst. I mean, for real? Like, they didn't even decide.
That's $500?
Yes. I mean, they...
Smooths.
They... Even if you didn't know why he was sick, he still had an injury on his backside. You didn't think that would be treated?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that did.
Yeah.
Also, too, you're in this great hospital facility with all these doctors. You're paying round-the-clock money. They had no idea what was going on.
Absolutely.
So I don't – yeah. I think if you got two pellets in you with sepsis,
With sepsis.
You're done?
With sepsis. Yeah, but Vinny shows up and tells, you know, Georgina everything.
Yeah.
Like, this is what Ricardo told me, and everyone goes into action to save Peyton's life, which is cool.
Yeah.
That Vinny was able to do that. But it was kind of weird that I was like, oh, we didn't check for this thing. I don't know.
That's where you kind of go, you guys are, you're doctors, right?
Preliminary tests are preliminary for a reason.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, I still bartend.
Right. Do you really?
I do.
Oh, good to know.
I do, yeah.
With those hands.
You want to... I'm very careful.
Gotcha.
Very careful. if you come up and ask for certain drinks, you know, I can't just stand there and go, oh, well, I'll check for that later. I can't really do that right now. Or, you know, if you don't know, you ask.
Right.
But you should know what you're doing.
Do you always feel weird having to ask? Do you feel like it's a sense of pride there? You have to be like, well, I of course I know what this thing is.
No, to me, it's like you're coming to my bar.
Oh, snap.
You're asking me something.
Oh, wow.
You get my services.
Are you kidding me? Hollywood Adam
over
here.
I'm funny.
Yeah.
I'm charming.
Yeah.
You're coming over to me. So if I don't know something, there's nothing wrong with asking. We're too afraid to say we don't know. It's okay to say we don't know. Ask. It's okay.
I agree with the designation, but how you got there was kind of, it's my bar. So, I'm okay.
I just think sometimes we go, oh, the patient's always right. You know, if you're rude, you need to back off a little bit.
Fair. Moving on, it's now time for our special most tender moment of the episode.
Yes, most tender moment. So this is what I was getting at before. I didn't want to get ahead of myself. It's when Georgina is saying goodbye to Peyton when he's sick, lying in bed. So this moment to me, it was a little because he looked so sick. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, she's talking about leaving right now with Brigitte. She has her bags packed. Might not be the best time because this kid looks really sick. Don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
But I thought that this was a beautiful monologue that Peyton gave. He gives her permission to leave. And he says, like, you took care of me. Like, I can do this now. And she tells him, I was a corked bottle floating in the sea before I met you. She said, you gave me purpose. So basically what he did for her, I think politics does for him. It gives him a North Star. It gives him a compass. It gives him something to align his priorities with. And they had this beautiful, tender moment. I got to tell you, Gwyneth Paltrow, I know I'm talking about Jessica Lange before, but Gwyneth Paltrow, to me, what a great role for her.
Yeah.
Like, just for women in television right now, you look at, like, Big Little Lies, you know, Nicole Kidman, Reese Witherspoon, Meryl Streep. You have all these things going on, and now Gwyneth Paltrow again. And we haven't seen her in a cool role like this in a while. You know, yeah. I mean, she's been over in the Marvel Universe. She's amazing. You know, she has a lot of big movies that we grew up with, you know, like Sliding Doors, Shakespeare in Love. You know, she's absolutely wonderful. And to see her in kind of a new role, and something that's so layered and just, she's so good at it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to, but like she works in this universe. But it was such a great moment. And then of course, Peyton gets up, he says, Mom, I love you. And then passes out. And then she realizes, you know, then we see Brigitte getting ready, flies away in the plane alone.
That was actually my tender moment, actually. The romantic, like, golden hour standing by the prop plane going off to France.
Yes, it had that. What's that Madonna movie where she was on the beach?
Not Swept Away?
Swept Away. Like, yeah, it might have been Swept
Castaway?
Away.
No,
Castaway's with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
It might have been Swept Away.
Okay. Yeah, the one
on the beach, and then the guy, like, throws away the diamonds, and he leaves.
It's just like, wow, this could not be any more on the romantic if you wanted to, wearing the pilot stirrups or whatnot.
Brigitte's going to go and play tennis.
Yeah,
play
tennis in Paris.
Got that, yep.
Now it's time for our news segment.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Breaking news, I'm reading the news segment. How's it going? Sister Parrish and Albert Hadley were a team that was involved on the Politicians production design squad. This visual language here for this show is like one of the most interesting ones I've seen. It has like the cinematic thing. It's kind of small, it's kind of large at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially seeing some of the motifs here. The Netflix series that stars like Ben Platt and Gwyneth Paltrow, Laura Dreyfus and Jessica Lange, among other stars. According to Jamie McCall, the Politicians production designer, the look of the series from interiors meant to depict California's 1%, obviously we're in Santa Barbara, right?
Oh, we got that, yeah.
To incredible gardens and college admissions office plays a large part in telling the story. This comes from Town and Country Mag, which is live right here on your screen. The show's already been renewed for season 2. I hope the production team stays the same, because we saw the gamut when it comes to seeing how the other half lives, even Elliot's house, the more middle-class kind of vibe. So definitely shout out to the team of Sister Parrish and Albert Hadley. Thank you so much, Town and Country Magazine. Now, two more episodes in. For The Politician, we already got the good news. that are being renewed for season two.
Yeah.
I know we're going to jump ahead because it's not quite a prediction, but is there anything else that you would have wished there was more of like the actual election, of the actual race? Anything else that you thought that was kind of glossed over?
Oh, man. Let's see. I would have loved to have seen like another proper debate or something take place.
Agreed. That was the same thing I was going to say.
Because those moments are so, there's so much fun. And that's also too what kind of harkens back to like, you know, election and different movies where we just haven't really seen stuff like this like in a while. And it's being done like in this new, exciting way. So I would say like the debates to me would be so much fun.
That was definitely my thing too. I mean, the election part is over, so we can talk about overall. I love the actually intrigue of percentage points and polling, but what in hindsight, I would love to see more of the actual debates and actual like the cheers and the that, what that means on the ground.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's just my personal thing. I guess you agree. We actually agree on something.
We agree. So we agree all the time.
What I don't know, man. My bar is more open than your bar. but it's now time for us to get out of here. Where can the world find you online, Mr. Carr?
Oh, you can find me at Instagram, funnyguy1985, Twitter, AdamCarr85, and of course, this is Adam Carr.
Wow. I'm Flobo Voice. You can follow me at Twitter, at Flobo Voice, on Instagram, at Flobito, and of course, Flobito.com. But until next time, buzz you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.